And good morning. This is Pastor Brad Ingram from the Truth Baptist Church in West Salem. I appreciate you listening this morning. Let me give you an invitation, as I do every week, to be with us in any of our services. We're located at 12457 North Elyria Road in West Salem. Our Sunday school begins at 9:30, our morning worship at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, and then Wednesday evening at 7. Also, I'm teaching a Baptist history class every Monday evening at 7 in our church sanctuary, and you're welcome and to be with that. We'd love to have you, and we thank you for your consideration. We have a website, www.tbcwestsalem.com, and you can get more information there concerning our classes. We also are the home of Truth Christian School. It's a K-4 through 12th grade Christian school, a ministry of our local church. So if you need any information about any of these ministries, go to our website, tbcwestsalem.com, and you'll have the answer to your questions. Now, if you have your Bible, turn to Judges chapter 17. Judges chapter number 17. I'm going to bring a Bible study this morning concerning religion and the trouble with religion. Now, that may seem like a very unusual title for a pastor to be bringing a Bible study concerning the trouble with religion, but I believe you'll see by the end of this study, if you allow the Lord to show you something, that there is a danger in religion if it excludes the person of Jesus Christ. And in Judges chapter 17, we find such a man who was very religious, and I believe he was even very sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. And his religion did not profit him any, because it was not according to truth. And so if you have your Bible, Judges chapter 17. Before I begin to read, let me remind you the context of the book of Judges. Several times in this book you'll read the verse, "And in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And folks, that is the reason that we're going to find so many things in the book of Judges that are completely anti-God, anti-law. The Lord had given his law, and so many practices here in the book of Judges were completely against that law. Why is that? Because when there's not a standard, when every man is allowed to do that which is right in his own eyes, then you're going to have lawlessness. Then you're going to have backsliding and lukewarmness. And such is the case here in Judges 17. Let's begin reading now at verse number 1. I'll read the entire chapter, 13 verses. Judges 17:1, the Bible says, "And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest and speakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. For now, therefore, I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder and made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had an house of gods, and made an ephod and teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons, who became his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, Whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. And Micah said unto him, Dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals. So the Levite went in. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, And the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, Now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. Now, a very unusual story. We'll find this again in the heart of the book of Judges at a time when Israel had no king. You see, God desired to be the king of his people. God desired for there to be a perfect theocracy where he alone would rule. And that system, as God gave it to men, failed because of man's disobedience. Man did not want to have God rule over them. And so each man began to put his own self up as king. Each man believed that he could order his own life, order his own affairs, and such is the case with this man, Micah. And I see here in chapter 17 a very religious man, and I believe even I can say a devout man. I believe I can even say a sincere man. But folks, you can be sincere and still be sincerely wrong. You can be devout and still be wrong in your devotion. And this morning, again, I want you to keep your Bible open here. And I want to give a lesson here on the trouble with religion. Now, let me give you a few introductory truths here, and I want you to get these settled, because if you miss these things, the rest of the sermon really will not have any foundation for you upon which to build. Romans chapter 1, I think it'd be worthwhile for you to turn there, at least mark the passage down and read it later. But in Romans chapter 1, the Bible tells us that every man, no matter who he is, no matter where he is born, every man has a knowledge of God. They may not know that God's name. They may not know anything about that God, but they do believe there is a, quote, higher power somewhere, a supreme being. I'm going to read this now from Romans chapter 1, verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now that's a very weighty passage. What God's saying here is every man has a knowledge there's a God, and God has given men two distinct ways in which they can know there is a God. First of all, conscience. Every man, woman is born with a conscience. The Bible says in verse 19 again, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. What is in man that shows him and teaches him there's a God? That's his conscience. I suppose if you have children, you can relate to this very clearly. When a child does something wrong, for instance, the child breaks something, what that child's going to do is attempt to cover it up, attempt to hide it, attempt to get as far away from that thing as he can. Why is that? Because his conscience has told him that he has done something wrong. His conscience has condemned him, so to speak. And that's the way it is. Man has been given a conscience by God. And that conscience bears witness to the fact that there is a supreme being, because it is the supreme being who's given the supreme law. Now again, I may say to you, the knowledge that there is a God is not enough to save a man. It's enough to condemn a man, but if that knowledge is followed and if more light is desired, God will give the man more light so he may know the true and living God. But there's also another way that men know there is a God, and that's through creation. The Bible says back in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. If a rational man, if a logical man, if an honest man will look around at the creation, look at this planet and all the life there is in it, if he'll look at that thing, he will have to admit, if this is a creation, then there must be a creator. For instance, I see a watch. I have a wristwatch. I'm looking at it. I believe somewhere there's a watchmaker. I believe that because I have a watch. I do not believe this watch simply sprang into existence millions of years ago. I believe somewhere. I do not know the man's name. I do not know the location of his shop. For all I know, it could have been a woman. I simply do not know anything about the watchmaker. I just know that there is a watchmaker. Again, I say that because I have a watch. It's very logical. What the Lord's saying here is every man has a knowledge of God. And when I say man, I mean all men and women alike. But man has a knowledge of God through creation and through conscience. And that portion of Scripture closes with this phrase, so that they are without excuse. No man is going to be able to stand before God and say, I never knew you existed, or I never knew there was a God. Again, God has been faithful and just in revealing himself to all men. Now again, I must stress here, men may not realize his name is Jehovah. Men may not know he has a son named Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world, but they do know there is a higher power. If you go to some of the tribal people on say, the continent of South America, you will find those people, even in the remote, most remote places of the continent, you'll find those people worshiping something. Whether it be an idol, whether it be the god of nature, whatever the case may be, you'll find people worshiping something. People who never come in contact with Americans, folks who never come in contact with a church, with a Bible college, but they're worshiping. Because man, in his natural state, has an inborn knowledge that there is a God. Now, why did I take the time to take you there? Because we're going back to religion today. We're talking about religion. And religion simply is man's attempt to know that God and to please him. Now, again, they believe there's a higher power, and every man believes there's a higher power unless he willfully suppresses that knowledge and chooses to turn away from it, such as the case with so-called atheists. A man or a woman says that he or she is an atheist because they are suppressing the knowledge of God. They are completely ignoring the fact they have a conscience. Now, folks, you can study it out. You can ask anybody you want to ask. If they're honest, they'll tell you that a conscience cannot be explained through evolution. A dog doesn't have a conscience. A cat has no conscience. But a man does. And how can a conscience develop? Purely through the process of evolution. You see, we have a conscience because we were created in the image of God, as the book of Genesis tells us. But I'm saying here this morning that every man, woman has a knowledge of a God unless they willfully suppress that knowledge. And religion is man's attempt to know that God and to please that God, whoever that God may be. Whatever form that God may take, religion is man's attempt to know that God or to know many gods and to please that God or to please many gods. Whatever the case may be, that's religion. And back in Judges 17, we see a religious man. We see a man who believed in a God. We see a man who desired to please that God and to have the blessing of that God upon his life. But he was wrong. There's some terrible mistakes made in this chapter, all in the name of religion. Now let me get on with it here. I'm going to give you about three things today that religion will teach a man. And again, I'm entitling this study today, The Trouble with Religion. Now, first of all, religion will cause a man to fashion God in his own image. Let me say that again. Religion will teach a man that he can have his God, but he will teach that man to take that God and fashion him according to his own perception of what he thinks God ought to be like. I see that here in Judges 17:3. The Bible says, "And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image." What was happening? This woman and her son believed in God, but what they were doing is they were saying that they themselves are the judge concerning what God ought to look like. They were going to make a graven image. In fact, here, interesting to note, when this woman referred to God in chapter number 17, verse 2, she referred to him as Jehovah. Well, she had the right God. She was speaking about the only true God, the God of the Hebrews, but she attempted to take that God, the invisible God of the Jews, and turn him into a likeness of a graven image. And folks, that's what religion will still teach you today. If you're not careful, religion will say, whatever God you want to have is fine, as long as you're sincere. And if you're not careful, you'll take that God and you'll bring him down to what you think God ought to be. And religion is causing men and women all over the world to bring God down to their level. some phrases you have to watch out about, and I have heard these when talking to folks about their soul and about God and about the Bible. I know I'm on dangerous ground when a man or woman says to me, but it just seems to me, or I've heard this before, I don't believe God could or would do this. If something is clearly taught in the Scripture concerning the eternal state of the lost in hell. Now, Jesus taught that very plainly, that in hell, the rich man lift up his eyes. But you talk to a man or a woman about that, and if hell does not fit their idea of what God should do, then they will say, it seems to me as if God wouldn't send anybody to hell. Or, it just doesn't seem to me that God could do this or that or the other, even though the Bible clearly teaches it. Well, when you make that kind of statement, you're doing exactly what Micah did in Judges 17. You're saying, yes, I believe there is a God, but I think I'm qualified to say what that God will or will not do. That's a very dangerous position to take. I'm not qualified to speak of God in any way whatsoever that goes beyond or stops short of what this Bible says. The Word of God is how He has chosen to reveal Himself, and I have no right, I have no authority, I have no basis for judging that God based on any other criteria than the Bible. I'll admit to you, sometimes I think if I were God, I could do it better. Sometimes I think if I were the Lord, I'd run the thing a little differently. But you see, my mind is limited. I'm wrong. If there's ever a disagreement between me and God, then I'm always the one who's wrong. He's always right. I'm always wrong. And so I have to realize very clearly, very early, I must realize that if it does not say in the Bible, I cannot adopt it. I cannot subscribe to anything that's not in the divine law of God. But religion will tell you that you can have your God or your gods. Your God may be a man or a woman. It may be a totem pole, a graven image, some sort of beast. It may be the Mother Nature, whatever the case may be. It may be the stars, it may be the planets, whatever the case may be, have your God, but fashion him or her into what you think God ought to be. And again, that's a very, very dangerous position. When you do that, you're becoming as God yourself. Now, if you think about something, God had condemned in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, God had condemned anybody making a graven image of himself or of really anything that they could not see. God forbid there to be a graven image of himself or of angels or of devils or anything that could not be seen. But men disregarded God's law and made graven images. Now, if you turn back to Romans chapter 1, I want to show you what happens when men and women begin to go down this road of religion in making God to fit their own expectations. Back in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, the Scripture says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. See, the Bible says here that every man has a knowledge of God, but when a man does not follow that knowledge, when a man turns away from that knowledge, when a man refuses to give glory to the true God, something happens. Verse 22, the Bible says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. In other words, they said, we're wise enough to say what God ought to be and what God ought not be. Well, the Lord said they sounded wise and they even took themselves to be wise, but they were actually fools. Then the Bible says in the very next verse, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image. See that? Made like to corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed beast, and creeping things. What happens when man is allowed to fashion God? He always brings God down. Where did this digression begin? First of all, the Bible says that they took God and made him into an image of a man. And then the very next word here is they made God like an image of a bird. And then an image like unto a four-footed beast, and then an image like unto a creeping thing. So you go from a man to a cockroach here. You go from a man to a worm. You see, man never does lift God up in his own understanding, but he always brings God down. That's why the Bible says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He cannot. They're spiritually discerned. And that's why God said, don't make any graven images concerning me, because you'll always bring me down. You'll always rob me of glory if you try to fit me into your mold. But back to Judges 17, that's exactly what happens. And again, I want to remind you that religion is a very dangerous and damnable thing if it allows you or teaches you that you may fashion God according to your likeness. Folks, you're going to be in for a very rude awakening when you stand before God and you have not given that God glory as the book teaches you should give him. And you're going to be in a world of danger and everlasting punishment if you have not come to that God based on the precepts of his word. You will not stand before God. You will not be justified before God if you have fashioned your God according to your own expectations. Now, let me give you this secondly about religion. First of all, religion will teach you that you can make your God. Secondly, religion tells you that you must sacrifice in order to please that God. Back in Judges 17, look at what a price was paid here by Micah and his mother in order to have this graven image. Again, the Bible says in verse 3, and when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto them. Yet he returned the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had an house of gods, and made an ephod and teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. Notice this man Micah had spent a great deal of money in order to please his God. First of all, the Bible says it took 200 shekels of silver, and they gave this to the blacksmith, to the founder, and created their God. Now, this would have been roughly about $1,500 in our day. If you take this and you do the calculation and the conversions, this graven image cost Micah and his mother about $1,500. That's not all. The Bible said Micah had a house of gods. Micah had built himself sort of a shrine. I'm sure it was very expensive. You took all the images that were in that house, and you would think you'd pay roughly $1,500 for those as well. That's quite an expense. But more than that, the Bible says that Micah had built or had made an ephod and a teraphim. He was attempting to bring instruments in from the Old Testament in order to please God. But the point is here, is Micah thought, the more I spend, the more I sacrifice, the better favor I'll have with God. And he says that very clearly in the last verse of Judges 17 when he says, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. What he's saying is, the Lord will be good to me now because of what I've done. And that's what religion teaches. Religion teaches that if you want to please God, you have got to be the one that sacrifices. Some religions teach that doing acts of self-mutilation or penance or martyrdom will cause you to have more favor with God. Well, the Bible never teaches this. In fact, the Bible teaches the opposite. The Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. The Bible also says that we've not been saved by the works of righteousness which we have done. The Bible says that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You see, religion says that you must be good in order to be saved. The Bible says you must be saved in order to be good. Religion says that you must work in order to be saved, and the Bible says you must be saved in order to work. You can absolutely do nothing pleasing to God until you're born again. Until you're brought into his family by faith, there's nothing you can do to render God acceptable service. And again, back in Judges 17, I see a man who sacrificed a great deal, thinking that his sacrifice would cause him to have the blessing of God. But folks, let me tell you this morning. My eternal happiness in heaven is not dependent on what sacrifice I can make. My eternal happiness in heaven with Christ is determined by the sacrifice he's made for me. Let me say this again. Sure, there is a sacrifice involved in Christianity, but I don't make it. If you're born again, you don't make the sacrifice. The sacrifice has already been made for you, and that was when Christ Jesus died on Calvary and shed his blood for my sin and for your sin. And thus, the sacrifice has already been made. All we must do now is simply accept it to receive the gift. Oh, friends, but religion teaches the opposite. Religion says if you sacrifice enough, if you give enough, if you work hard enough, then just maybe your God will have mercy on you and pardon you, whatever the case may be. Whatever you believe about the afterlife, religion will teach you that if you do enough now, you'll have eternal happiness. If you don't do enough, you'll have eternal damnation. The Bible never teaches that whatsoever. I'm thankful, by the way, that my salvation does not rest with me, does not rest with my ability. I'd be in a world of hurt this morning if I thought that I myself was responsible for myself concerning my salvation. I simply have thrown myself on the mercy of God, and I'm saved, justified. I've been brought to the family of God because of His sacrifice. Let me give you this quickly now as we close. Religion also teaches you that there must be a mediator, but often this mediator takes the form of another man. You see, Micah needed a priest, so he consecrated his son first, and then when this Levite came along, he consecrated the Levite to be his priest. In other words, Micah believed that he had to have somebody else to go to God for him. The purpose of a priest is to go to God on man's behalf. And Micah, he built the image, he built the house, but now he said, I need a priest. I cannot approach this God on my own, so I must have now somebody to go for me. You watch about any religious movement, any church that teaches that you must go through some man, or that you must go through anyone other than Jesus Christ to reach the throne of God. That is blasphemy according to the Bible. The Bible says there is one mediator between God and man, and the man Christ Jesus. I do not have to go through any other man to come before my God in heaven. I have the God-man, Jesus Christ, who is my mediator. He ever liveth to make intercession for me. And that's a wonderful truth that I want to just say again. Religion will teach you that you need somebody else to go to God on your behalf, that you cannot come to God. You have no way of speaking to God except some other man guides you into this. Folks, that's false. If you've been born again, you have access to the throne of God by faith. But these things religion will teach. And so as we close the study today, keep this in mind that there is a danger in religion. Religion will damn your soul if it's not based upon the truth of God's Word. I pray that if you're clinging to religion or some denomination or some movement for your salvation, the Holy Spirit of God would shake you and convict your heart and show you there's only one way to heaven, and that's not religion. That's through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. I appreciate these dear listeners listening in. I pray they've been helped and encouraged in their Christian life. And I pray now that you would get all glory from whatever positive comes of this message. I pray, Lord, you'd work through my iniquities, work through my shortcomings, work through my inadequacies to speak to these dear people. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.